I think the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something this morning. We've had a bit of a rough start in a few things. That song itself was a little confusing to follow as it went through. We've had some breakdowns in microphones and whatnot. I think that that's what Easter Sunday was kind of like, and that's what's been described in that reading. The disciples and Mary weren't exactly sure what was going on. It just seemed like things weren't right. There's an empty tomb. Jesus is missing. They didn't quite understand that he had to rise from the dead. They still hadn't quite plugged into the fact that he wasn't the Messiah, the one that was going to be a king and overthrow Jerusalem. There was something else at hand. And it became clear pretty quick. But I think in the early hours of that day, this day, it was a little confusing and things weren't working exactly the way they'd hoped. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Hallelujah. We praise you, O God, for the power of your saving love. It's a confusing morning, and it should be a confusing morning in the early stages of it, because so much has happened. And when we consider what happened on Friday until now, lots has taken place. As you've raised Jesus from the dead, give to us this gift of eternal life. Help us to fully appreciate what that is, that we may understand and worship you forever. Open our hearts and minds this morning, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As a butterfly soared overhead, one caterpillar said to the other, "You're never going to get me up in one of those things." Yet for every caterpillar, the time comes when the urge to eat and grow subsides, and he instinctively begins to form a chrysalis around himself or itself. The chrysalis hardens, and you'd think for all the world that caterpillar had died. It's springtime, clearly. It's raining a lot, April showers, and soon it will be summertime. And it's that time of year, especially when many of us were younger, I suppose, we start to think of those creepy, crawly little caterpillars that crawl around in the springtime. With this, maybe a mental image of caterpillars on the ground, we have a mental image of a caterpillar creeping slowly across the concrete of the sidewalks. We all maybe have those childhood memories of picking up a caterpillar, a big fuzzy one. Maybe this one isn't fuzzy, but he's cute anyway. Watching it slowly crawl across our hand ever so softly. And time goes by and that caterpillar goes into a cool place and forms a cocoon. And they live in that cocoon for what seems to be like an eternity, at least for a child watching it might seem that way. And when the caterpillar emerges, as we know, a beautiful butterfly is what is the result. In the Greek language, the word used to describe this is metamorphosis. It's a change. The butterfly and the caterpillar are not the same creature in any way, shape, or form. And one of the purposes of Easter for us today is the victory celebration that tells of the power of God that took a dead body of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, a human being, and he transformed him. There was a metamorphosis that took place in him. It transfigured him into a glorious resurrected body. The purpose of Easter is God telling the truth that God can conquer death with life. The purpose of Easter is not only to convince us that creepy, crawly caterpillars can be transformed into butterflies. The purpose of Easter is to convince us that not only are there miracles in nature, that there are miracles in history, in our history, yours and mine. The purpose of Easter Sunday morning is to convince us that there will be a time in our lives when we too shall be transformed into something utterly magnificent and beautiful. Not that we aren't now, but it's going to be even more so. The purpose of Easter is to tell us of those good and glorious promises of God who has the power to take that which is dead and transform it into life. Today, on this spring day, when I was putting this together, I thought about caterpillars, and I knew I wouldn't find any particularly right now, but we do have lots of flowers today. And we have their bright, smiling faces, if you like, sitting here with us. Now, if we went out and took one of these pots and pulled it out of the plant, what would we find? Well, we'd find dangling roots. Because that makes sense. That's what's at the bottom of a plant. Have you ever seen a flower root and someone explain, "That's really beautiful. I think that root is just lovely. It's the best root I've ever seen." You wouldn't take a flower pot and arrange roots this way up, maybe, and put them on display. Of course not. It's ridiculous. You want to say there's no comparison between the brown, dirtied root and the transformed, exquisite beauty of the flowers, these flowers. They don't look alike. It is indeed a miracle that God has worked by transforming the plain, brown, dirty, gray roots into marvelous flowers. And so it is that great good, that good news of Easter is pretty obvious in that analogy. God transforms seeds and roots into beautiful flowers. And that same God transforms caterpillars into butterflies. That same God transformed the dead body of Jesus into a living spiritual body. That same God promises to transform our human bodies, like a seed planted in the ground, into a resurrected new spiritual body. It's not a really big deal for God. God does this a million times a day. He's transforming that which appears to be dead into glorious new life. And we can look all around in nature and see that happening. And equally true, Easter for us is an invitation to believe like a child, to have childlike faith. And that makes everything that way true for us. I'm not saying childish, I'm saying childlike. Think of it this way. When we tell our children or grandchildren that that creepy, crawly caterpillar that's on the ground right now is going to turn into a beautiful butterfly, even though they've never seen it happen, they believe us. They believe us. They trust us. And so for us, Easter is an invitation to believe like children, childlike, simply to believe that God works great miracles, not just transforming caterpillars into butterflies or seeds and roots into flowers, but will transform earthly bodies, our earthly physical bodies, into everlasting spiritual bodies. I have said time and again from this pulpit, this is the day that makes the difference for us in our faith. Our teacher and leader didn't just die as a martyr, didn't just die. This is the day that makes the difference. The empty tomb. The changed life. But for us, it seems, when we first start to encounter this and take it into our hearts, we have that childlike understanding and we can believe that. But unfortunately, as time passes for us, we're no longer children. We no longer are children, but we're adults. And as adults, it's not as easy to trust like a child anymore. It's no longer easy to think childlike. It's no longer easy to be childlike. And we do very often confuse when we try to prove things. We confuse childlike with childish. And they're not the same thing at all. So when I hear people say, "I'm not going to check my brain at the door when I go to church," that's somebody who's behaving childish, not childlike. Childlike wants to learn, is amazed by the simplest things, and understands in that simple way the truth. But as adults, we want more than pretty promises of paradise. If only we had proof. If only we had some proof of life after death. Some proof that the pretty promises of paradise, put that phrase around it, were true. Then we might believe. If only there was some conclusive evidence, some brilliant insight, some direct confirmation of the next life, then we might be able to get childlike again and believe in caterpillars and butterflies. And so many of us search out these proofs of life after death. A man named Dr. Moody wrote a book entitled Life After Death. Wrote it a few years ago. And in Dr. Moody's book, he examined and interviewed 150 people who were diagnosed as clinically dead and then came back to life. And all had seen a light. They were no longer afraid of death, but saw death as a friend and were willing to die again to be absorbed into that inviting, pulsating light. For some as adults, that's enough proof. And maybe if that's true, then perhaps we can believe as children again. But we want additional proofs. We want to go way down deep inside because we don't quite trust this hased, this everlasting love, this goodness of God's promises. And so we ask the question, why didn't Jesus do more to prove his resurrection? Why didn't he? You know, if I were God, I might have done it this way. I wouldn't have messed around with anybody. I would have done it maybe this following way in particular. I would have built a great big stadium in Jerusalem. They had them in those days, big amphitheaters. I could have invited 50,000 people to the stadium to fill it up. It's as big as the Ty Cats stadium game. Everybody's there. It's packed. I would have had Jesus up there in front in the resurrected form, and I would have close-up cameras scanning his whole body really slowly. I would instant replay cameras at work to show the best angles of vision, have replays over and over again for the most revealing perspectives on this revived body, so I could prove to those 50,000 that Jesus Christ was no longer dead, but was alive and a living body. That's one thing I could have done, I suppose, if I were God. It would have proved it to everybody. Or maybe if I were God, I would have Jesus raised from the dead at a medical school. I would have taken every doctor and every physician and every atheist, every skeptic, every cynic. I would have taken them all to that medical school and had Jesus there. And they could have taken their scalpels out and their knives, and they could have sliced right through his resurrected, spiritually revived body, and they would have believed. That's one other thing I could have done if I were God. I would have made Jesus' resurrection happen so there would be no choice but to believe. I would have proven it without a doubt. But honestly, and we can thank God that I'm not God, never has God, in God's wisdom, so clearly shown himself as to prove his existence. That's a complicated sentence. God has always left a little bit. God has never so clearly shown himself as to prove that God exists. God has never so clearly shown himself to prove the resurrection of Jesus beyond a shadow of a doubt. That would be inconsistent of God to prove the resurrection when God has never proved his existence or his presence in miracles or anything. Ultimately, the reason for that is that God wants us to experience the power of belief and to believe in that childlike manner. Not childish again, but childlike. To trust that God's word is true. To trust that God is good. To trust that God exists. To trust that God makes caterpillars transform into butterflies. To trust that we too shall be transformed at the twinkling of an eye from an earthly body into a heavenly body. God gives us evidences. God gives us plenty of evidence of his existence. We can look around and we can experience the evidences of God. God gives cherry blossoms in the springtime, the pattern complexity of creation, the oceans, the mountains, the flowers that we have here today. God gives us the resurrection stories of the Bible, the miracles that are contained in the Bible, and miracles that happen often in our own lives. I know I can look back in my own life and see that God intervened many, many times. And as I listen to your stories, as you talk to me, I hear there was no other reason than God had something to do with that. God gives us countless witnesses of highly intelligent people who simply believe in that spiritual world inside them and around them, and a spiritual world that lives outside of time and space. But after we've studied all of our evidences, if we believe in God's power to create life out of apparent death, it's because we believe. It's because we've become childlike and simply believe these promises of eternal life. And simply believe that God will be faithful to those promises in death, as God has been faithful to all of us in our lives. I want to tell you one more caterpillar story. One more butterfly story. There was a caterpillar crawling across a Persian carpet. A Persian rug. The caterpillar crawled for what he thought was 75 years. He was crawling all over that rug, and he could see only one color at a time, because his vision was right here. First he saw the blues, and then he saw the oranges, and the yellows, the reds, the purples, the deep violets, the greens. He saw one color at a time and said, "What a beautiful world I am on. Look at all the color I've experienced." He lived for what he thought was a very long time, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, a blink in God's time, but very long for a caterpillar. And finally, he crawled off the edge of the Persian carpet and he became a cocoon. He became a cocoon and he hibernated. Although he didn't realize it, the cocoon was part of the miracle. And then there was another miracle, and he came out of the cocoon as a butterfly, a monarch butterfly. He fluttered up higher and higher, and he looked down at the Persian rug for the first time, and he saw it in its entirety. Magnificent splendor of the patterns. What a sight he saw. For the first time in his existence, he saw the meaning of all of these colors that he experienced in his life. He saw the past and the present like he'd never seen it before. And just like Jesus, when he tells stories, those who have ears to hear, listen to the meaning of this parable. Easter is inviting us to believe in the powers of God to create magnificent new life and deeper understanding when we see that bigger picture in our new life. To believe the miracle that God transforms caterpillars into butterflies. To believe the miracle that God transforms our earthly bodies into heavenly bodies. And that example that we have in the empty tomb. Easter is an invitation to believe in a childlike manner, because maybe it's only children who truly can see and understand those miracles of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God of Easter and surprise and everlasting presence, on this joyous day in particular, help us to see and believe. In fact, Lord, help us when we can't see to believe. In the mystery of love, you empower us to join with you in helping transformations take place in this world. So we're called not just to transform our own lives, but lives around us. The alleluias of Easter, the thanks of Easter, equip us for the opportunities you send our way. Open our eyes that we may see. Open our hearts that we may feel. And open our souls that we may be reborn. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And now, as recipients of this abundant life in Christ, we come before God with our offerings and our tithes.